just following on from what Chris was saying about the food bank bin, and just to say thank you to everybody that, if you sign the petition that went around, there was a petition that went round nationally that got about 100,000 signatures on it, and also the people locally spoke to the supermarket and said, what on earth are you doing? Why are you stopping doing this? We at Eastbourne, we don't rely on Asda particularly for food, but in some towns, Asda was the main supplier of the food to the food bank, and those food banks were just devastated. I went to see the store manager at Asda in Eastbourne, and he was so apologetic that nationally they'd made a decision. He said they just completely got it wrong, and the local store managers were so cross. He said that the social heart of the communities is so strong at the moment to make a difference that Asda completely got it wrong. And so he was thankful to people that had spoken and said things to the store and had written to Asda and Walmart and all those sort of things. So your voice does make a difference. There is a possibility that when we speak into situations that we can have change. I know this was a bin in Asda, that wasn't the end of the world. But we can have change when we speak into situations. And as Christians, we need to have that social heart and that voice. Because if we don't speak up, who does? Nobody does. There's just silence. And when you see the things that are happening, I'm not supposed to be speaking about this, but when you see the things that are going on with cuts and things in, you know, the latest thing is a disability benefit cut, and all those things, when you see those things, if you disagree with it, we have to speak into it. Not a political thing. Don't get political. It's not what you're asked to do. But speak into it. It's, you know, if Jesus was here, he would be saying, no, 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 that isn't right. You can't do that. But we stay silent. And when we stay silent, there is no voice. So please, please bash on with your speaking and influencing things. But don't get political. No need to get political. But you can speak into situations and really, really make a difference. So think about that. If we stay silent, who does actually speak about these things? Who's doing the computer? Anybody? Can we just have the thing up? That would be good. Right, I've been asked to speak about the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to find Galatians chapter 5, it's in the back of the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, somewhere around that bit there. I don't know the page number, but I'm just going to read the verse. And it's on the screen anyway, so you don't have to worry. But I've been asked to speak about goodness and faithfulness. And the verse that it's based on from Galatians 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, that's from the NIV, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to be ever so simple this morning, because I think we're people, well, I'm a person that remembers things when it's simple and straightforward. And what I wanted to do was, first of all, just to explain what goodness was. Virtue and holiness in action. A life characterized by deeds, motivated by a desire to bless others and benefit others. If I was to look for goodness in somebody, what would I see? Not somebody that behaves themselves all the time. That isn't what that means. This is the definition that I believe is right for this particular verse. What it is, it's the desire to make a difference, the desire to bless somebody else without that feeling of having to have that self-gratification or that praise because of what we've done. It would be a natural act. We'll come to why it would be a natural act in a minute, but it would be a natural act. It wouldn't be hard work. It wouldn't be stress in any way. I had a lady, Bob will know the lady, we had a lady that worked for us at Food Bank called Marie Miles, and she was an amazing lady. She just oozed this. Everything about her just oozed this goodness. Everything about her. Never got stressed about anything. Never did it for any praise. Anyway, she died recently and I went to her funeral. And at her funeral, I was amazed by this lady's life. It totally blew me away. In fact, I sat in the pew in the church and the tears just rolled down my face. I couldn't believe that somebody could give their life to do what they did in the way that she had done it. A totally amazing lady. And people just kept coming and speaking about her, saying there was something about her that just oozed goodness. She just overflowed that into every situation and everything she was and everywhere she went. She worked all over the world. I didn't realise that either. And she was a person that just oozes. So that's goodness. What's the other one we're looking at? The other one is faithfulness. So what does faithfulness mean? Believing God is who he says he is, continuing that belief despite the ups and downs of life. If I was to say, can you spot a faithful person? You'd see a person that when life hit the worst possible things at them, the whole lot, when their life would seem to be crashing down and life was just getting so bad, you would think, gracious me, surely they're questioning who God is or what's going on around them and why God's letting this happen to them. Now, if you saw a faithful person, you'd see a person that trusted God and said, no, God's in this, and I totally trust God to see me through this. That's what being a faithful person is all about. Right, this is a test. This is really complicated. What sort of tree does that grow on? Does it grow on... do hands for this. Let's do hands. Would it be a pear tree? Would it be a banana tree? Would it be a gooseberry bush? Would it be an apple tree? Actions are allowed, yeah. Would it be an oak tree? No. An apple grows on an... Remember that, it's important. So what sort of tree does this isn't a trick, what sort of tree does this grow on? It's a banana, by the way, in case you've not eaten one or seen one. Does it grow on a pear tree, a banana tree? Oh, go on then, hands in the air. Yes. A gooseberry bush? No. An apple tree? An oak tree? No. Can an apple grow on a banana tree? Can a banana grow on an apple tree? No. Can a banana tree one day just happen to produce an apple? You're very certain of it, aren't you? It can't, can it? Why can't it? Why can't a banana produce an apple? A banana tree produce an apple? No. No, you're getting complicated. It's ever so simple. No, no, no. Let's not get into that. No. Why can't a banana grow on an apple tree? Or why can't an apple grow on a banana? Right, you're getting all complicated. An apple tree produces apples. Why? Because inherently within it, filling it as a tree is appleness. Okay, that's technical. And so an apple tree, because it is full of appleness, produces. And a banana tree, because it is full of. Produces. Exactly. And it doesn't matter how hard a banana tree tries to produce apples. It can't. Perfect. You've got it. You got that? Ever so simple. If I stand here all day and I say, I am going to produce faithfulness and I'm going to produce goodness. And I try. And I try. And I try. I probably won't. In fact, I don't think I will. In fact, I know I won't. I will produce goodness. I will produce faithfulness. I will produce the other fruits that we've talked about of the Holy Spirit. when the very essence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit lives in me, through me, out of me, and I produce these fruit. And it doesn't matter if I stand here for 10 years saying, I'm going to be good, or I try so hard to be a person that just gives myself and just oozes goodness. It will be just empty and hollow and false and nothing. And if I say I want to be a person that wants to be faithful, I want to know God in the center of everything, when life throws at me, it won't work, because I'm doing it, I'm trying to be something I'm not. We will only produce this fruit that Galatians talks about in our life when the character of Jesus, the life of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, flows through us and in us and out of us. We got it. Ever so straightforward and incredibly simple. It isn't complicated. There we go. That was the story. So I want us to be juicy fruits. I was thinking what to put on the top, and I couldn't think of anything, so I put, let's be a juicy fruit. The first thing is, we can't produce fruit in our life. It is impossible. It doesn't happen, okay, get this, unless the Holy Spirit lives in us, flows through us, works out through us. We cannot produce fruit in our lives. We cannot have our actions, our attitudes, our thoughts, the way that Jesus wants them to be, the way that he calls to live our life, unless the Holy Spirit lives in us, within us, out from us, and flows from us. Find John chapter 15 in your Bible. John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sort of in the middle. Jesus talks about this, and this is the important thing, because when we read the Bible, we want to know what Jesus says about it, not somebody else. That's just to help us. Let's understand what Jesus says about this. And he says this in chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. This is Jesus talking. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So fruit isn't produced by trying and practicing. You can practice being good, but it'll be a bit hollow, and it'll be really obvious to people that you're trying to be good. It won't be natural. It won't come from within. It will just be something that you try to be. So it'll be false fruit. So what happens if you become an unhealthy person spiritually? What sort of fruit do you produce? Well, I've got several fruit trees in my garden. They're, I think, from when the house was built, which was in the 1920s. So they're pretty ancient trees. And let me say, they are unhealthy trees. And sometimes they produce lots of apples, which are all horrible. And sometimes they produce no apples. The tree's got scabby and horrible. It's just not very nice. It's an unhealthy tree. So if I want it to produce the cracking, perfect, beautiful apple, I've got to get that tree to be healthy. If it's unhealthy, it will not produce fruit. Same as us. If we are unhealthy, if our lifestyle is just completely up the chute, and we're not people that live the way Jesus wants us to live, we cannot produce fruit. Okay, it's as simple as that. And then what Jesus is saying here, if it's not producing fruit, well, cut it out, get rid of it. Do you know, sometimes I think we take on too much to do as well. We can be so busy in our lives wanting to do a million and one things that we wonder why God doesn't bless the stuff we do and why it seems so hard work and so dull and so dry. And sometimes I believe God says to us, you've got to cut those bits out that's not producing good fruit. Just cut it out. Concentrate on other things. That's where I want you to produce fruit. And I can speak of that in my situation. I know that's the case. If you concentrate what you really believe God's calling you to do, you will produce fruit within that area. And also Jesus says in John 15 that when you are producing good fruit, you have to be pruned back. Now again, I've got a fruit tree that I prune now and again. It looks like it's had a number one haircut, and then for the next 5 years it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows because I don't care for it properly. I haven't got the time to fiddle with this tree. When it's pruned, it produces good fruit. This is not the rotten tree, this is the better tree. When it's got branches about 5 foot long and there's waving in the wind and the wind blows them and breaks them, it produces no fruit. Pruning is good. Sometimes we need to be pruned back. Cut back. Things need to change in our lives so that fruit can be produced. And the last thing I want to say really is that a branch that stops producing fruit needs to go. And that's a hard thing, isn't it, sometimes? We try really hard to keep things going when sometimes God says to us, actually, no, I want you to do that. Don't want you to do that. I want you to do that. But we don't listen because we're not in tune with what God's saying. We think we're into it. We've got our heads, you know, into it. And sometimes God says, I want you to move from that and I want you to do something different. And then when you do that, you will produce fruit. If I was to ask you this morning, do you think your life is producing juicy fruit? Do you think you're making a difference through the way you live? Do you think that you're showing into your, let's go back to the start. Do you think you're producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your life? Do you think you are? Do you think that's evident? Are you trying to be those things, but actually it ain't working? Maybe you've got trapped in the idea that I produce fruit by trying hard to be what God wants me to be. You do not produce fruit by trying hard, okay? Let me just really, really, really emphasize that. That is not how it works. We produce fruit in our lives. We produce those things when we surrender our lives, when we surrender those parts of our lives that we know God's not in control. We say, God, I want you to be in control of that. I want you to change my attitude to how I see the world out there. I want you to change the way I see the world out there, not as a bunch of scroungers and a bunch of people that are desperately trying to twist the system, but a world that has got so many broken and hurting people in it that needs your love and your compassion. Change my heart to be able to respond to that. We can try to be people that have compassion and put on all the show, but it's not real. And it will be seen to be false. But when we surrender that and say to God, God, I want to be the person that sees the world in the way that you see it. Give me that compassion. Give me that heart that sees it. We will produce that fruit towards that. And we will be able to do that and see the difference made. If we want to be a gentle person, sometimes you say people are naturally born gentle, but actually it's different to that. It's a deep, I'm not going to steal probably thunder for another week, but it's something that is different when the Spirit of Jesus lives within us and oozes that out of us. And that only happens as we say to Jesus, I want to surrender all of my life. I want you to be in control. I don't want to just be trying to do this stuff and live a good life and be a good Christian and be a good person, because we'll screw up every day, let's be honest. But as we surrender ourselves to Jesus and say, God, will you produce that fruit in me? Will you show that fruit out so that when other people see me, they see that fruit in me? And it makes a difference into the town we live, the community we live, the work we're trying to do. This is what it's all about. This is what we live for. We're not here just to sing songs and to come on Sunday. The purpose we're alive is to make a difference, to see God's kingdom come in the town in which we live, to bring God's kingdom. And these things are things which make a difference in the town, in the society, in the communities in which we live. So let's be people that say, please God, would you change me on the inside to be like Jesus, so that as I live out, this fruit is evident and it makes a difference in the town I live and the communities that I work with. It's not rocket science, is it? It's not hard. It doesn't involve you doing a lot of effort. It doesn't involve you practicing, because that ain't going to make a difference either. It's all to do with surrendering ourselves and saying to Jesus, would you live within me? Would you change my life? Would you change my attitudes? Give me eyes for this world in which you live. Your eyes. Not some political eyes. Your eyes. So I can see how you want me to live and how my whole life, my character, the things I do, the things I say, make a difference into this world in which we live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these pictures that we see in the Bible. You're not calling us to produce bananas or apples in our life. You're calling us to produce things that are far more important, far more serious, far more life-changing, far more community-changing things. Things that see, as we work together, see your kingdom come in our town. See this world change. See this community changed for you, because you live within us. Father, forgive us if we've been trying to be good people. And we've tried to do it in our own strength. We've tried to be good. Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you refresh us? Would you live out through us? Would you change us to be the people you want us to be, so that this fruit is evident? And our communities are changed, and your kingdom comes. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus. We pray that for this week, in the work we're doing, in the situations we face. We won't do any of it in our own strength, but we'll do it knowing that you live through us. And as you live through us, you will make a difference into the world in which we live through us. And we say thank you for the privilege of that in the name of Jesus. Amen.